How does God ordinarily work in the heart and mind of one who comes to Christ? That's what we call justification. Or how does God change you, conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, that which we call sanctification? So central to the work of evangelism and central to the work of the church of God being built is the Word of God and the prosperity of the Word of God. The kingdom of God, as Jesus enters into these parables, the kingdom of God is a kingdom that centralizes on the Word, the Bible. So we cannot underestimate the value of God's Word as it's read, and then in the life of the church, God's Word as it is preached. Now today, Jesus presents us with the first of the parables in the Gospel of Mark. And he begins with a parable that talks about the importance of the Word and the Word bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. This morning we're going to look at what is commonly called the parable of the sower in Mark 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8. So Mark 4, 4 through 8, and then also 14 through 20. Because remember, last week we dealt with that middle portion that serves as an introduction to parables and what parables are. So we look at Mark 4, verses 4 through 8 and 14 through 20, and the story is relatively simple. There's a farmer. The farmer is sowing seed in his field. He's taking seed out of the bag and he's scattering it. He's throwing it. That is a method of planting that is called sowing. And as the farmer scatters that seed along the area that has been tilled, the field, we see that in Jesus' estimation, only about 1 in 4 of the seeds, at least in the parable, only 1 in 4 are seeds that are going to grow up and produce grain. He says some fall on the wayside, that's the path that people are walking on, and some that he sows, it falls into rocky areas away from that which has been tilled, and some falls into thorny areas off to the side. And then there is that seed that makes its way into the soil that has been tilled. And Jesus said this is something of how the Word of God goes forth. The Word of God goes forth and it in a sense does not discriminate, as the Word of God is heard by all who are willing to listen. And yet not all will receive that Word. Not all will bear fruit. Not all will experience growth. So let's look at this parable of the sower, and we're going to begin with our first heading, which we're calling the sowing of the Word. The sowing of the Word. The word sow or sowing means to scatter, as I've already described. It's a scattering of seeds as a method of planting. And this is what Jesus says, verse 4. He says, listen. It's like saying amen at the beginning. Listen, amen. You must hear this. A sower went out to sow. And Jesus tells us in verse 14 the interpretation of that. He says, that which is sown is the Word of God. So the Bible is sown. And the method of hearing the Bible expounded is sown. The Word of God is central in conversion and central in growth to anyone that would trust in God and rest in Christ for forgiveness of sin. The Bible is the only means that God has given, the primary means for how God speaks to humanity. So that which is used for spiritual growth and that which is used to build you up, it must be the Word of God, and it must be centralized in the Word of God. Children, you remember question 2 of the catechism. The Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct how we may glorify and enjoy Him. That's it. It's central. This is the rule. This is the standard for how we both glorify God and how we enjoy God. So we ask questions. What does it mean to be saved? And we go back to the Bible. Who is Jesus Christ? And we go back to the Bible. Who is God? Who is the Spirit of God? What does it mean that He's building a church? What does it mean when we talk about sacraments? What is the Lord's Supper? What is baptism? We go back to the Scriptures. This is central. This is it. This is what is being planted in the hearts and minds of all of those that are hearers. But I also want you to understand that God has given the church a means by which the Word of God is sown and planted. You know, the Word of God does not just stay in a museum like this, and we come and we look at it, we say, oh, that's the Word of God. You know, don't touch that. Don't open that. That's sacred. No, we touch it. We open it. We read it. We consume it. And the method that God has given the church for that Word of God going forth is preaching. Again, our catechism talks about especially preaching being used to convince and to convert and to build up. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means for convincing and converting sinners and building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So the church casts the bread. The bread is cast onto the waters. It's scattered. The seed is thrown and scattered. Well, will this person hear? Will this person hear? Will this person hear? Will this person hear? I don't know. It's not my job to know. My job is to sow the Word of God, to scatter the Word of God. So this is what this means. This is both that which is sown and the means by which it is sown. The Scriptures read, and you do that. I call you, encourage you to do that. Do that at home. Do that as families. Do that in private. Do it on your lunch hour. And the Scriptures preached. And they come together in this parable as the one that sows and the thing that is sown. But we have to understand that when we talk about sowing the Word of God or preaching the Word of God, there is both an outward preacher and an inward preacher. There are two preachers. The outward preacher called to scatter the seed, called to preach the sermons. And yet the Holy Spirit preaches to the heart. The Holy Spirit is the one that convinces or convicts or converts. It's been said that preachers are merely beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. The preacher is merely one that calls attention to the Word of God, but it is the Spirit of God, that second preacher, that Spirit that does the heart work, the Spirit that takes a bloody Christ and applies a bloody Christ to your soul. The Spirit takes a victorious, risen Christ and applies that to you and calls you into His kingdom. The Spirit is the one who applies the Word of God to your Monday through Saturday life, as well as on the Lord's Day as you worship Him. So the sowing of the Word, it's both the reading of the Scriptures and it is the hearing of the Scriptures preached. You might say, well, Pastor Nathan, what are some applications of that? And there's several questions you can ask yourself by way of application. How much are you in the Word? How much opportunity are you giving God by His Spirit to sow within your heart? See, oh, Pastor Nathan, I've just been so dry spiritually. Well, are you in the Scriptures? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you looking at God's Word? And so much of the Christian life is centered there, isn't it? Reading the Bible, drawing out the spiritual milk from the Word of God, savoring the meat of the Scriptures. You must start here. Are you reading the Scriptures? Are you in the Scriptures? Are you reading them as a family? Are you meditating on the truths therein? Are you letting them water your soul? And are you hearing sermons, even as you hear sermons? Are you hearing what's said? This is the sowing of the Word. The reading of the Scriptures and hearing the Scriptures preached. The preacher, a sower. The Holy Spirit, the sower behind the sower. Do you cherish that scattered seed? William Perkins is a theologian that I've been doing a lot of work in lately. He was an Elizabethan. He was born the year that Elizabeth ascended the throne in England, and he died the year that she died. So truly an Elizabethan. He was a professor at Cambridge. He was a fellow and a mentor to some of the greatest preachers of the 16th century in England, as well as some that went into the Netherlands and some that went into the Americas. Excuse me. And Perkins was fond of saying that the church is God's cornfield. The church is that central field where God scatters the Word. That central place that the Word is able to go forth and to be scattered and to be heard. And Perkins says that there are several types of hearers, even within God's cornfield. He says there's some that are ignorant of the Word, but they're teachable. And there's some that are ignorant of the Word, and they're not teachable. And he says that there are some that are humble as they come to the Word of God and may not know much of the Word of God. And there are others that come in full battle against sin. And there are others that come and they're backslidden and they need to be called back to Christ. All within the church, all within even a single congregation at times. Within this cornfield, various types of growth, and that is the context in which the sower primarily sows. And that's really what Jesus is getting at here, isn't it? As he goes into the rest of the parable and the explanation of the parable, there's various types of hearers. Someone can hear the same sermon preached, and some say, you know, I got nothing out of that. And some saying that was pure water for my soul. And some saying, Lord, I believe I was converted under that sermon at that time. And others saying, you know, I don't know what you were saying, but I think you were saying something to this effect. There are different hearers. And Jesus gives us that. Let's look at some of those hearers. There are four types of hearers that Christ here describes. And the first three are all hearers that are unconverted. And we're going to look at those now. We'll call that, that's our second heading. We'll call that the losing of the word. The losing of the word. And that's found in verses 4 through 7 and 14 through 19. Now, Jesus tells us there are three categories of hearers that must be examined when we consider the word of God sown, but not bearing fruit. These hearers hear the word of God preached. They might hear the word of God read. They might hear the word of God read in their families, with their families from week to week and hear sermons in church. And yet the word of God has different reactions within their heart and mind. And the first hearer that Jesus mentions is the pathway hearer. This is verse 4 and then 14 through 15. Jesus says, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So for these hearers, the word of God is nothing and means nothing. The reading of the word is nothing and it means nothing. And these may be people that sit in church from week to week and really could never tell you anything about what is read or what is preached. And when they hear the word of God read, it's all nothing. Maybe religious words, religious motions. But it's all sort of meaningless. Some of you are old enough to remember the Peanuts cartoons. Not the one that was in the newspapers, but the actual animated cartoons. And you remember that when the children were in school and the teacher was talking, what did they hear? You remember? Wah, 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 wah. Sort of whatever is being taught coming to their ears, and it's gibberish. It means nothing. For some, that is how the word of God read and the word of God preached comes to their ears. Wah, 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 wah. J.C. Ryle said that they take no interest whatever in preaching, and it seems like a mere matter of words and names and unintelligible talk. It is neither money, nor food, nor drink, nor clothes, nor friends. And as they sit under the sound of it, they are taken up with the thinking of other things. So the word of God comes to their ears, and in the words of Paul, in a different context, it is as if there is a veil over their faces. They don't see it. They don't hear it. It's nothing. The word of God is not received. Now, the second category of hearer that loses the word are the rocky hearers. And Jesus describes the rocky hearers in verses 5 through 6 and 16 through 17. Jesus says, "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." So this hearer receives the word of God, and Jesus says he receive or she would receive it with joy. But there's no roots. There's no depth that develops. And that faith is temporary faith. It only lasts for a little while. They have temporary faith, and as the pressures of the world come upon them, difficulties or persecutions, as they come up in their lives, they fall away. This hearer has not been converted by the Spirit of God, and maybe we could describe it as they are living the Christian life by their own strength. You're saying, "Yeah, I got this. This is great. I believe this. I'm moving in this direction." And then when pressures, either maybe from work or from other family members or from friends, when that pressure comes, eventually they say, "Okay, I've had enough." This is the hearer who will walk away and make statements such as, "Christianity didn't work for me." Or, "Christianity, that it's just too hard. There's too many rules, too much stuff to deal with." And the word of God, whether read or preached, is lost on them. Jesus, in another place, talks about those who build their lives on the sand versus those that build their lives on a rock. He says, if you build a house on sand and if you build a house on the rock, they're going to have different reactions to the storms that come. In congregation, the storms come, don't they? The storms come. The difficulties of life come. And those that have their lives built on the sand, that will wash away. And those that have their lives built on the rock, they are stable. And the storms will pass. And the spoiler alert is that Jesus is the rock. And that's essentially what he's saying here. That there are those that make a beginning and fall away. So, path hearers. Birds come, eat what is sown. Rocky hearers. There's growth, but it's temporary. Eventually, they fall away. And then thorny hearers. That's verse 7 and verses 18 and 19. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They're those that hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So this group, this third group, dies out not because of persecutions and pressures, but this person falls away from Christianity because all that the world has to offer is just too tempting. It's too good. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire of other things enter in, and the word is choked out. Maybe they'll say, of course I believe Jesus existed. Of course I believe the Bible is true. But what is central to the cares of their hearts? What is the driving force or the driving factor of their existence? Where is their identity? That's an important question today. Where is their identity? It's not in their union with Christ, but it is in the world and the things of the world. The Apostle John says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but from the world. This is the thorny ground, and the word will not prosper until one is able to deny him or herself and take up the cross. There will not be fruit bearing until we understand that the world is not our home. The dead are called to bury the dead. And we're called to throw off the lusts of the eyes and the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life." I know many of you have friends that, and family members as well, that grew up in godly homes, and they've fallen away because the cares of the world have called them, as the sirens would call the seamen to themselves. May God free us from the path and from the rocks and from the thorns. But notice in verses 8 and 20, Jesus also tells us our third heading, the prosperity of the word. The prosperity of the word. Jesus speaks of good soil, and he speaks of grain that grows and doesn't just grow, but is able to flourish 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And that is our encouragement. That's where we want to be. Those are the hearers that we want to be. And there's a few things that we need to say. Remember last week we said that the parables aren't allegories, so we can't overly focus on one aspect. And we think of the soil, we can't go too much in saying how we prepare the soil. Because the gospel can come into any hardened life and break that soil down. But what we can say is that good soil produces good grain, and that the Spirit of God is the one that would provide good soil. That heart of flesh instead of the heart of stone. And as the Word of God is read or preached, that seed is able to make its way into the soil of one's heart so that the fruit of the gospel may begin to flourish and come alive and bring forth more grain and more fruit in your life. In the parable, a good harvest depends upon good soil. And the good soil is spirit work. You can pray for good soil. You can pray that God would take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. There's nothing in you that can change that. You can't do self-surgery on your soul. But you can cry out. You can ask the Lord to give you that soft heart to the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word. You can pray for light. You can pray for understanding. You can pray for a receptive heart. And I think there are things that we can ask ourselves. Like, are you a diligent hearer? Are you listening? You know, there may be some that are true Christians, really converted, and yet they struggle at the reading of the Word and they struggle at the preaching of the Word. That doesn't mean that one is not a Christian. But if that's your default position, to struggle when the Word of God is read and struggle when the Word of God is preached, then there might be things that you need to do to help prepare you and help you to better understand. Are you a diligent hearer? Do you prepare to hear the Word preached? Maybe read the text the night before. I've been sending out the bulletin. You know, none of you should have saw the text that were read today and said, "Well, I didn't know he was going to read those things." And I know there are some of you that are in that pattern, reading the text the night before and maybe even playing that mental game, where's the preacher going with this? And that's good. It's helpful for preparation. Do you pray for a receptive heart? Do you examine the preaching against other portions of the Scriptures? Never just take my word for it. Never just say, "Well, that's Pastor Nathan, so I trust everything that he says." Examine it according to the Scriptures. Receive preaching as the Word of God. Sit under preaching and say, "Jesus has something for me today." Talk about the preaching. Talk about your scripture reading with other people. Ask, "Well, what did you get out of that? What do you see in that? When you read this section of Romans, what do you think?" And that's important. Remember, Peter, the Apostle Peter, said, "You know, when I read Paul, it's hard." Peter said that. So if you think Paul's hard, the Apostle Peter also thought Paul was hard. Let preaching bring forth fruit in your life. Don't just leave it in the car when you get home, but think about it. Think about what you can apply Monday morning when the alarm goes off. Soil worked, soil tilled, soil prepared for seed. May your heart be receptive and prepared. And Jesus said that word would be accepted. Do you accept the Word of God as just that, the Word of God? Is this book God-breathed for the sake of the church, the Word of God given so that we can hear God speak? Or is this just the moral stories that built Western civilization? Do you receive it as the Word of God? Not just as a history book, but do you receive it as the Word of God? Do you receive it by faith? And when you look to the Scriptures and you look for those big themes, do you receive those by faith? Do you accept them? Creation, fall, redemption in Jesus. We are to receive the Word that it would bring forth fruit. One pastor said, "Sin will be truly hated, mourned over, resisted, renounced. Christ will be truly loved, trusted in, followed, and obeyed. Holiness will show itself in all of life, in humility, in spiritual mindedness, in patience, in charity, there will be something that can be seen. The true work of the Holy Spirit cannot be hidden. Now again, don't be discouraged and say, well, you know, Pastor Nathan, if we're bringing forth fruit and we're talking about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, I think I'm sort of like that health, that house plant that's barely kept alive. You know, like the one in the corner that you're like, well, you know, we don't need to look at that, but we're trying to keep it alive. Sometimes our faith is there, but we're promised that God will not break the bruised reed. He doesn't just toss that off. The Word of God is used to work the soil, to prepare it, to help it to flourish again. And that fruit from the Word will come forth. That fruit of the Word of God read and that fruit from the Word of God preached, they will come forth in your life. You will grow in your knowledge of God. You will grow in your knowledge of Christ. You will grow in your love for the Bible. You will grow in your love for the church. And all of those fruit that are mentioned by the Apostle Paul, those fruit will begin to be seen as well. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These will begin to flourish in your life. Maybe you're not at 100-fold yet. Prepare. Care. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, I don't see much fruit. Well, do you see any? If you see any, then give God the glory and stay in the Word. That growth will come. And grow in your hearing. Grow in your hearing. Know that as that bread is cast upon the waters, it may be many days before you see the harvest. Use the means that God has given. Read good books for your soul. Sing the Psalms. Talk about the sermons you hear. Love the Word of God. Speak of it as the Word of God. Be in it as the Word of God. And that fruit will come. It may be many days. But if you look at the clouds and you say, well, it's cloudy, I'm not going to sow today. Or look at the wind, you say, it's pretty windy, I'm not going to sow today. Or you think, you know, I don't even know how this works. Is it magic? I don't know. Well, I'm not going to sow today. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, which we read, says, cast it on the waters. Cast it on the waters, for you will receive it after many days. The fruit will come. Jesus here is teaching us of the importance of hearing and the importance of the Word of God in the kingdom of God, because it is a word-centered kingdom. So no matter what you think of the kingdom of God, no matter where you go in your discussions and debates on the kingdom of God, when you come down to the nuts and bolts, the kingdom of God is a word-centered kingdom. The Bible is there, and Christ as the Word is there at the center of that kingdom, so that you may know how you can glorify Him and enjoy Him. How are you hearing? This is a listening kingdom. How are you hearing? How are you hearing the law preached as it exposes your sin and as it shows you the way that you are to grow in Christ? How are you hearing the Psalms as they're sung? Are you hearing and looking for Jesus as you hear? And are you organizing even your emotional life as you consider the Psalms? And are you hearing the gospel? How are you hearing the gospel from week to week? And how are those promises unfolded in your life, as you throw yourself at the feet of Christ and confess that you need more of Christ and less of you? Do you long to hear of blood and the power to save sinners? Congregation, it is important that we hear well. How do you hear as the word is sown? May the Spirit grant good soil of heart, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, even in your life as you seek to glorify Christ. Amen. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the glories of the Scriptures and the way that you teach us through your Word. We pray that we would be good hearers, and the good soil would not be something that we've conjured up within ourselves, but something in us resting in Christ and a relying upon the Holy Spirit. May each one of us cast our bread upon the waters, even knowing that 30, 60, and 100-fold will come, even if it's many days. Amen.